So what's your Social Security number?
What is it?
I know you know it. And now, why do you know that number so well?
Well, because it's important, right?
Because your Social Security number is important. It's something that you want to remember. You've memorized it. And isn't that what we do with important Bible scriptures? We might ask ourselves, what's our favorite scripture? What are the scriptures that have meaning to us? What are the scriptures that we have committed to memory, that we have memorized, just like that Social Security number? We know it like the back of our hands, and we know it for a reason. But you see, it's right that we ask that question, why we learn these scriptures. And you know, as Jehovah's Witnesses, we're taught to learn scriptures, aren't we? We know a lot of scriptures. John 3:16, Matthew 24:14, John 17:3, Psalms 83:18, Proverbs 4:18, Matthew 24:45-47, we can't forget that one. 2 Timothy 3:1-5, Genesis 1:28, Daniel 2:44, John 10:16, Luke 12:32. Shall we go on? We learn these scriptures. Now, why? Why do we learn all these scriptures? Well, in preparing this information, I really started to analyze, really tried to think about why. And we learn these scriptures so that we can refute doctrinal points. Mainly refute the doctrinal points of other Christians, don't we? Someone brings up the Trinity. See, what do? John 14:28. Remember that scripture? Oh, yeah. 14:28 says that the Father is greater than I am. That's it. Condition of the dead, Ecclesiastes 9:5. The living are conscious that they will die, but as for the dead, they're conscious of nothing. See, we've got it. Psalm 37:29. Righteous themselves will possess the earth and live forever upon it. So we learn these scriptures for preaching. That's the primary reason. Now, another reason is to set us apart. To help us to understand our purpose as a witness, we learn these scriptures. Now, these are the more familiar ones. These are the core scriptures that witnesses know, like Matthew 24:14. This good news of the kingdom will be preached in all the inhabited earth for a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Important scripture. Psalms 83:18. Just hearing that comes to your mind. First scripture you probably ever learned as a child, most witnesses, first scripture they ever learned, that people may know that you whose name is Jehovah, you alone are the Most High over all the earth. Matthew 6:9-10, the Lord's Prayer, but emphasizing the part about the kingdom, you see, and about God's name. Our Father in the heavens, let your name be sanctified, let your kingdom come. See, these are some of the unique things that make witnesses different, right? And we learn these scriptures. They're proof texts. Have you ever heard that expression? Proof text? This is a proof text. Oh, yeah, I got the one for them. This is the proof text. See, it's a scripture that just proves something, that just establishes, hopefully beyond a shadow of a doubt with our listener, that they are right or they are wrong on a particular topic. Sir, I'm going to prove to you that you don't have an immortal soul. Let's turn our Bibles to Ezekiel 8, chapter 4. All right? Know that one? The soul that is sinning, it itself will die. The soul that is sinning, it will die. See, it's a proof text. Now, if we lined up 1,000 active and exemplary witnesses, 98% of these active exemplary witnesses would have the same scriptures memorized. About 50 or so verses, they'd know them all. Some might know a few more, but really that's pretty much it. And there's nothing wrong with this. We're not attacking learning these verses because they're good scriptures. Learning any scripture is good. But we have to ask ourselves, remember we're talking about favorite scriptures. What's your favorite scripture and why is it your favorite scripture? But what might be another reason to learn scriptures? What might be a better reason to memorize these scriptures? And what other scriptures could we focus on? Could we make our favorite?
Well, what about our spirituality? What about our own personal upbuilding? What are scriptures that could build us up? Psalms 119, verse 165. How about that one? Does that just snap into your mind when you hear that? Psalm 119, 165. It says, abundant peace belongs to those loving your law, and for them, there is no stumbling block. What a beautiful scripture. See, did we know that one? If we didn't, why didn't we know that one? Psalm 119, 165. Abundant peace belongs to those loving your law, and for them, there is no stumbling block. How about its cousin? Verse 105, Psalm 19, 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my foot and a light to my roadway. That's a little more familiar. That's a good one too, right? You see, why do we learn these scriptures? What do these scriptures do for us? Do we learn scriptures just as a tool to do something for somebody else, or do we learn them for our own faith, for our own heart and mind, our own edification? Now, defending our faith, witnessing to others is good. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, remember that? It says there that we should always be ready to make a defense before everyone that demands of you a reason for the hope in you, but doing so together with a mild temper and deep respect. See, so it's good to know these scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Remember that? It says there's one God and one mediator between God and men, a man, Christ Jesus. See, we learn 1 Timothy 2:15 to help us to appreciate that Jesus is our mediator. Another one in 7:23. This is a good one. 1 Corinthians 7:23, you were bought with a price. Stop becoming slaves of men. When you hear that scripture, does it resonate with you? When you hear stop becoming slaves of men, you were bought with a price, does it resonate with you? Does it reach you? Does it have meaning? It sure as blankety blank does with me, right? We were bought with a price. What about what Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 20? Matthew 18, 20. Jesus said, for where there are two or three gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. Wonderful scripture. We don't have to forsake the gathering of ourselves together. As that other scripture that is so often referred to at the Kingdom Hall says, no. See, Matthew 18, 20, for there, where there are two or three gathered together in my name, that'd be Christ's name, there I am in your midst. Doesn't this want to make you remember Matthew 18, 20 right now? You can do it. You can remember it. Acts 17, 11. Remember that about how they had eagerness of mind, carefully examining the scriptures daily as to whether what Paul was telling them was so. Matthew 10, 36 and 37, it says, indeed, a man's enemies will be those of his own household. We don't even need to remember the rest right now. We've experienced it. Many have. John 8, 32, what about this? John 8, 32, what a gorgeous verse. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Isn't that gorgeous? If that verse had legs, they'd be Marilyn Monroe's. It's true. Have we been set free? Have we been set free? Remember, one of our new favorite verses is 1 Corinthians 7:23, right? About how we are no longer slaves of men. You see, that's what gets us excited, is that the scriptures free our minds. The scriptures do not enslave us to a man. They do not enslave us to ignorance or to a group of men in ignorance. No. The scriptures point us to Jesus, to the glory of our Heavenly Father. We don't have to worry about where we're going to go. Peter said in John 6:68, remember that one? He said, Lord, whom shall we go away to? You have sayings of everlasting life. Another good one. Another one of God's pretty things. So what scriptures do we want to study? And why do we study them? See, it's about our motive, isn't it? We're talking about our favorite scriptures. What is our favorite scriptures? What are the ones that we have memorized? What are the ones that we want to quiz ourselves? We want to make flashcards of and memorize. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. You see, do we study scripture so that we can beat someone over the head with them? Do we? Have we ever done that before? Oh, no, I've never done that. I don't do that. Well, I do remember once out in service, there was this guy. He started talking about the Trinity, but he had it coming. See? Deep down, we know. We've all done it. Those of us that have been raised as witnesses, those of us that have been active witnesses, see, we've done that. We have clubbed someone over the head with all these proof texts that we have learned. But you know, it's interesting. Something was done, a study was made of every scriptural reference in the Watchtower magazine. Complicated computer script was written to extract every scriptural reference from the Watchtower magazine through the period of 1950 to 2010, a 60-year period. What do you suppose were the top three scriptures referred to in the Watchtower magazine between the years of 1950 and 2010? Top three scriptures. Well, you might be able to guess. Matthew 24:14. This good news of the kingdom will be preached. That one. Matthew 24:14 was number one. In fact, it was head and shoulders above the other two verses. Second most frequently used scripture in the Watchtower magazine. Revelation 7:9. A great crowd stands before God's throne out of all nations and tribes. Revelation 7:9. And number three was, you guessed it, Matthew 24:45. The faithful and discreet slave. Who really is the faithful and discreet slave? You see, these three verses, the most frequently found verses in all of the Watchtower magazine in the last 60 years, are used to emphasize preaching, the earthly hope, and the authority of the faithful slave class or the governing body. But are these really our favorite verses? What are our favorite verses? Wouldn't it be nice for us to really press on to maturity, to go deeper than that, and learn what will help us and help our spirituality, and then that way we can help others? Hebrews chapter 5. Paul was talking about being dull in their hearing. They all this information was going in, but they weren't getting it. It wasn't good getting to their heart. Verse 12, he said, "For indeed, although you ought to be teachers in view of the time, you again need someone to teach you from the elementary things of the sacred pronouncements of God, and you have become such as need milk, not solid food." You see, when you build the same foundation over and over and over, it's just like building a house. When you build a house, and you do the foundation, and then maybe you do the framing, it's still not a house. It's only half done. If you never put the roof on, if you never run the electrical, if you don't do the plumbing, you still don't have a full house. It's not balanced. It's not rounded. So if we go over the same three verses, the same few things over and over and over, we're never going to press on. It's just going to be milk. Verse 13, and there in Hebrews 5, he goes on, he says, "For everyone that partakes of milk is unacquainted with the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to mature people, to those who through use have their perceptive powers trained to distinguish both right and wrong." You see, that's what we want to do. We want to move beyond these 40 or 50 verses, beyond the proof texts. Let's get some new favorites. Now, I think I've got it narrowed down. I think either John 8:32 or Psalm 119:165 is my current favorite verse. It's a tough call, though. You know what I mean? You see, we examine why we're studying the Bible. We appreciate that God's Word frees our minds. And then we can find that favorite verse. Then we can memorize it, take it into our heart, and really apply it. Well, thank you for listening. That's all I have for now. Let's say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Your written word is a blessing to our lives. It illuminates our path. It lifts us up when we're depressed and down. We need to feed upon it, Father. And we thank you for our Lord Jesus, that he has explained so much of it to us. His ransom, his shed blood, wash away our sins, and all of this would be meaningless without this most precious gift. Give us strength to combat ignorance and fear within ourselves, and then when we are confronted with it by others. Help us to break free from false beliefs. Help us to break free from slavery to men, Father. We don't want to be captive to a concept anymore. Father, give us your Holy Spirit as we need it. Show us what we need to do. Please be with those that have mates that oppose them. Be with these ones and help them to patiently endure and not try to break the marital bond, but to do what they can to strengthen it. Give us wisdom and guidance so we can determine in our hearts whether we should fade out and away from the Watchtower organization or whether we should take our stand like Martin Luther's conscience compelled him to do. Either way, may we not be judging others, but may we have intense love for our brothers and sisters in Christ and all that profess his name and your name too, dear Father. In Jesus' name, we say amen.